Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your life connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Good morning, everyone. Today is August 9th, 2016, and you're listening live with Body, Mind, Spirit Radio. And today's show, Fairy Tale Interrupted Relationship Coaching with Dr. Andrea Lee. Dr. Andrea Lee is a national speaker, an international author, a trainer at the Marriage Boot Camp, which is the same national 501c3 company that showcases a wee TV show called Marriage Boot Camp Reality Stars, and an in-demand certified life coach and relationship guru with Fairy Tale Interrupted. If you would like to call in and ask a question or interact with Andrea on her topic, please call in at 646-378-0378, or feel free to ask questions in our chat room and have them read live on the air. I know she has a lot of wonderful information for you guys today, so without further ado, I give you your host, Dr. Andrea Lee.
Thank you, Courtney. Again, I'm Dr. Andrea Lee, your certified coach with Fairy Tale Interrupted. This radio show bridges the gap between what society doesn't talk about and what really happens within the family, the relationship, and the individual. Excuse me. On today's show, we're going to talk about outside influences such as family and friends and how those influences affect a relationship. In addition, I will be offering some helpful hints on how to deal with such situations and even how to stop them before they even begin. We have a lot to cover, and I'm excited to share with you, so let's really get started. At some point, we all have had family or friends that have given us advice, correct? Now, we know that it's all meant to be helpful, but sometimes, let's admit it, let's just be very honest and admit that our family and friends can overstep some boundaries. Now, let's go ahead and add a relationship into the mix. Maybe your family and your friends don't agree or feel that that person is right for you. Now, when you have that relationship with someone, it is important that your family and your friends, those outside influences that are putting that pressure on you, that they respect you and your decisions to really choose whoever you like for your relationship. Now, moving on, you know, it's important to create boundaries. An example of this would be if someone is just absolutely being disrespectful and talking about how they don't like this person, these are the reasons why, and you're wondering how to handle this, okay? A good suggestion would be to obviously listen to that person, to acknowledge what that person is saying, but then to respond by saying, I've listened, I've heard what you've said. However, with that being stated, I expect you to respect me and my decisions. And if I need your help, I will call you. I will ask for your help. But I am not someone that, you know, needs help with my decisions. That's a very important thing to start off with. Now, as the relationship continues to move into marriage, a lot of marriage ceremonies will say that you will put your divinity, your God first, and then you'll put your partner second, and your family. Now, that will also create additional issues because you'll have outside influences such as your parents, your siblings, friends, even friends that are single that don't understand what it's like to be married. They're going to push in, and they're going to focus on what's wrong because they don't understand. Now, it's very important to, again, acknowledge what they're saying, but to also put the people that are trying to influence your relationship, put them on notice. Hey, listen, this is the partner that I've married, and it is important for you to understand that if push comes to shove, I have taken a vow. I will choose this person over you. Now, we have to understand the first cardinal rule in marriage, which is thou shalt always take my partner's side first. The person you sleep with at night must feel like he or she has your back, okay? So no matter what that person is going up against, you protect that person at all costs. Even if you don't agree with that person at that particular time, you take your partner aside at another time and you have that conversation. But it doesn't matter. If you're in public, if you're with someone that has a major influence, even if you're having someone that's, let's say, someone that's in retail or anybody for that matter that is disrespecting you or not respecting your partner, you automatically defend your partner at all costs. Remember the cardinal rule. Thou shalt always take my partner's side first. Okay. And then moving on, you know, in that situation, you know, and I can kind of tell you from my husband's perspective. My husband was actually one of the first ones in his group of friends to actually get married. So when he went back with and met his friends for drinks or for any type of events, we would always run into a situation where he'd come back and some of the behaviors from his friends had actually rubbed off on him. Now, you have to understand that if his friends are single, that association of my husband being with single people is going to solicit participation. And usually single people will say, well, my ex did this, this, this. And this is also an opportunity or a time where maybe my husband would have said, hey, man, you don't understand. I'm married. This is what actually happens when you get married. And it's still a form of disrespect to the partner. Just because you're trying to fit in with your friends or your family doesn't necessarily mean that you do it at your partner's expense. That's a very important thing to remember. And when you get married, you have a honeymoon phase. And after that honeymoon phase, then that adjustment really starts to kick in. And during that adjustment, you're going to rub each other the wrong way. You and your partner are not going to absolutely get along. So what do you do when you fight? Okay, most of us, myself included, before I had to realize that this was wrong, will go to someone to validate that we are right on our side. We will go to family. We will go to friends. It may seem like this is a great idea, but it's actually counterproductive for the relationship. And here's why. In most cases, if it's done correctly, the partners in the marriage will make up. However, the people that both partners told outside of the marriage, unfortunately, are not going to be able to be as forgiving as the couple. So then you have lingering resentment, excess baggage, and thoughts of, oh, you did this to my friend, you did this to my son, you did this to someone that I love, I'm not going to easily forgive or forget. And then that creates a wedge between extended family and friends and that partner. And you caused it because you went to them. And that's something that's very important to realize, is that you created that. There are appropriate venues to work out your issues. The first one is very obvious. Talk to your partner. Listen to your partner. You know, you can act fake in so many different ways, but you cannot fake listening. And true listening means that you're acknowledging, you may not agree, but you're acknowledging what the other person is saying. That's extremely important. If the situation is really getting out of hand, you can seek a professional. If it's really bad, you may want to go to a counselor or a therapist. You can also go to your spiritual home or your religious home, such as a pastor, a rabbi, someone of that capacity. You could also go to a coach. But either way, you have to learn to communicate within the relationship and seek appropriate resources. That's not going to affect you later. I'm going to give another example. I was actually at marriage boot camp as a trainer in March, and I had a couple that I had been working with actually quite extensively. And the husband had some problems communicating, which I think most of us women on this call would understand. And it created a problem where the wife went to her family and said, he doesn't get me, he doesn't understand. And it went on for quite some time. Now, it got so bad that when the couple actually came back together and were working on their marriage, the family didn't want to have anything to do with the husband because the wife had pretty much dogged the husband to the point where the family did not even want the husband around. Now things are better, but yet they still feel that push, that struggle between family, and they don't have that support. It may seem like something that's very small, but we don't realize the ramifications of going and talking about it and venting to outside influences that we keep in our surroundings, our environment, such as our family and our friends. Now, this is something that's kind of hard because, let's say when you were a child, you went to school, mom always knew best. You'd be able to go talk to your mom and say, Mom, what should I do? You're a grown-up and things are different. And that's something that we all have to think about. Another thing that we also have to kind of move on to is, under the circumstances, what do you do if you have family, if you've been to that point, family, friends do not support your relationship with your partner? Okay, remember the number one cardinal rule. Thou shalt always take the side of thy partner. Which means if your mother, if your father, if your family or your friends do not support your unity with your family and your partner, then they are toxic to the relationship that you have. And there may be a choice as to, okay, you need to give them that ultimatum. Are they going to respect your decisions and accept, or are they going to continue and risk losing you in their lives? It's very important to think about that because, you know what, are you going to choose a friend over a partner? I just want you to think about that. Imagine what it would be like. I have many people come across my practice where you have a mother-in-law that has pushed opinions to the point where the couple's fighting because of someone that's meddling and pushing themselves into the relationship. Three is too much in a relationship. It's two. It's between you and your partner. These are very simple, common sense things to think about. But for some reason, we try to please everybody. And by us pleasing everybody, sometimes we please nobody. So we really have to look at what is extremely important, which is our partner. At whatever level, it's our partner. Now, that doesn't mean to go and be disrespectful to family and friends. You still have to create those boundaries. And those boundaries are not meant to hurt, but they are to protect both sides. And if your family and your friends know exactly what you expect, then there are no issues. There should be no issues. So again, remembering the cardinal rule, thou shalt always take thy partner's side. Courtney, do we have any questions or any callers today?
We had a question that came through in the chat room, and we definitely have some listeners on here today, but how hard is it? I mean, you know, as a relationship coach, do you find it's really, really hard for couples to stick to that cardinal rule?
Well, it is because the partners want to please everybody. Here you have, let's say, a mother or a father who's pushing their opinions into the relationship. And we've always grown up with the idea of our parents know best. Our parents know everything. How many times have we heard that as a kid? I know everything. And when you start to becoming, when you become an adult and you make decisions on your own, it's hard for that person to transition and to really let you make your own decisions. So it's a transition that boundaries can sometimes help, but it's extremely difficult. It is. And sometimes you do need the help of a coach that focuses on relationships to kind of guide the couple as to how they're going to handle it. Sometimes the damage is so bad that they actually have to cut that outside influence off completely.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that, you know, maybe some of the insecurities an individual has within a relationship comes from family dynamic and the lack of faith in the partnership?
It could be, but then also we are a product of how we were raised. We have a choice to either follow that path or make a path for ourselves. And the major situation that I see is being able to, of course, we all have insecurities. We all have those thoughts. As I've said in a prior radio show, our thoughts are very fluid in the fact that we go back from our past to our current to our future, often with worry and with fear of the unknown. The issue is that how are we going to react to that? How are we going to react to our insecurities? And instead of shying away from our partner because of those insecurities, that's when we should be bringing our partner closer to us to be able to overcome those insecurities, to have not only a better relationship, but also a more fulfilling life individually.
Mm-hmm. Now, can I ask, how do you include children in this dynamic? Because someone might be in a partnership that their family doesn't approve of, but yet they also have children too. So how does that come into play?
What I usually do is in my practice, I focus on the couple. And if you have the couple, the children or the child, depending on how many babies you have in your family, will follow suit. If you take care of the couple, the children will fall in line, I always say. So I had a situation, and this is something that happened to me that I'm going to share, if that's okay, Courtney. Again, 10 years ago, my husband and I lost a child, and my mother-in-law tried to take a lot of attention during this time. She posted on, she was a nurse, and she posted on the whole health care system website through the email list and said that her grandson died. She gave our home address. So for months, my husband and I received cards from people in another state that we never knew for months, which was very difficult. And every day, she would call and say, well, did anybody send you anything? And it was a very hard thing for us, and it was just not a good relationship that we had with her. And at some point, my husband said, this is not the relationship I want my family to be involved with. And there were a lot of other things that had happened, but it was just a situation where it was just a lot of little things that really started adding up. And he made the decision to walk away from his mother. Now, I supported him in whatever decision he made because it's a very tough, difficult decision to make. However, he was looking at our children because he didn't want our children to be exposed to that. So if you can see and listen to the situation, most cases it's going to pass down to the grandchildren. It's going to pass down, you know, if your parents are meddling in your relationship, it's not going to stop there. It's going to go down to the grandchildren as well. And that's mm-hmm. why the parents need to take care of. That's why the partners, the married couple, that's why they need to take care of it at that level so that way it doesn't get passed on.
You know, what is the most common thing that you see when it comes to families bringing negativity or being involved in a relationship? Is there a commonality, like, I don't approve or they're not good enough for you? Is there seem to be a theme or something that is more popular?
There are actually, that's a good question, Courtney, there are two. One would be that the person's not good enough. A person doesn't have the pedigree, or the person doesn't come from equal family lifestyle as the partner had come from. And that usually rubs the parents the wrong way, because then they go to the second most common thing, which is, this person's only trying to go after you for money. This person doesn't really love you. This person's not going to take care of you. This person only wants to marry you and have babies and then divorce you and have child support. Which, it's gone to that point where parents have actually stated that to their children. So it's, in that situation, in most cases, I have found it really doesn't matter where that partner has come from. The parent, nothing's going to be good enough for that for their child.
Yeah, and that's actually really sad, because more than likely that individual is really happy with their partner. You know, they have everything that they want or everything that they're looking for, and yet their parents will never approve, or, you know, their family will never approve, and that's actually a really sad thing, you know, to experience and to deal with at the same time. Now, you talk about kind of removing the toxicity and removing that person. Do you find that that remains permanent, or do you feel that in some cases, you know, things evolve and change to where that person can then come back into the situation?
It depends on the situation, Courtney. If there is something that in the situation that is extreme, such as abuse as a child or something of that nature, in most cases, it's permanent. When the person has come to that realization, it's permanent. But what I preach in my practice, and I do, I preach it, I pretty much say that you need to give this person an ultimatum. And we don't do well with ultimatums, but at least you know where you stand. If you can, and this is how it goes. If you know, I want you in my life, please understand that I have accepted this woman or this man to be in my life and to be my partner, and I have made a vow to put God and this person and my family first. If you are able to contribute positively to our relationship and support both of us and stop disrespecting, and you can even give some examples that you feel that person's being disrespectful, so they know exactly what you're talking about, then at that point, I'm not able to, and then you continue, at that point, I'm not able to have you in my life. If you feel that when you are able to, please feel free to contact me. But it's your decision on what you want to do. So you're leaving the door open.
Mm-hmm.
But on the same token, they know that person that you've put on notice and you've given the ultimatum, that person knows that when he or she comes back into your life, that things will not be the same and you will not tolerate it. And it's their choice.
Now, I know you've worked with a lot of people over the years and so forth, but just for our listeners' sake, you know, what are some of the extreme cases that you deal with this, or, you know, have there been extreme cases so that they understand that you're not just talking about, you know, people who maybe have a mother who makes a comment once in a blue moon, but also, you know, more of, a, I guess, extreme cases is the best way to put it. Can you talk about that a little bit?
I can. I've had a couple of cases where the wife has been sexually abused by her father as a child. And, you know, things get married, you know, she gets married, she has children, and then the grandparents, her mother and father, want to babysit her child. And that creates a huge boundary conflict. Of course, because you're afraid of what's going to, you know, what has happened to you, it may transfer onto your baby. So that's something that would be like an extreme situation where, you know, hey, listen, you know, mom, you can watch the baby, but if dad's there, I'm not going to leave him with you. I'm not going to leave my child with you guys. that's a boundary that's pretty specific. And if you can't tolerate that, then I can't have my baby with you guys on her own. Do you see how that's such an extreme, but it's real. If someone's
yes.
been abused as a child, just physically abused, not even sexually, but just physically abused, and they leave a child. Or if someone has, as a child, has been just verbally beaten down to the point where that person has, it's taken a long time for that person to have a self-esteem and a good self-concept and to recover, and then to bring a partner in, and now your family is doing the same thing to your partner.
Mm-hmm.
That would be an extreme. This is not just a, oh, I don't like your wedding dress. This is these are real world issues.
Well, and you answered that beautifully, and that's basically why I asked that question and put it out there so that the listeners understand that it is. It's real world issues, you know, whether it is minor or, you know, extreme. Now, I have one last question that came into our chat room from one of our listeners. What do you do when you have a partner who's just not willing to budge on this? They're not following the cardinal rule. They're, you know, having a really difficult time standing up against their family. You know, you have no problem standing up against their family, but, you know, your partner won't. You know, how do you deal with that? How do you reinstill that cardinal rule back into the relationship?
Seek outside help at that point. Because if you have talked to that, if you've talked to your partner and your partner just keeps going through the same, chances are there's some insecurities or there's some issues why your partner is not willing to let go of the family. And in most cases, it's because they feel like they don't have enough self-worth, that they have enough people loving them or supporting them. So
now,
seeking outside. Oh, go ahead.
One more thing, because this one just came through. How often do you see divorce because of these types of situations?
Surprisingly, I see quite a number. I would say if these types of situations are not rectified within a pretty reasonable amount of time, usually within, I'd say, 3 years of this going on, that's when we start seeing an increase of divorce based upon this. And not only that, we also see an increase of infidelity at this level. Because if you are not supporting your partner and you're not giving your partner what that partner needs, that partner is going to go outside of the relationship to get it.
Okay. Well, thank you for answering the listeners' questions. And if anybody else does have any more questions, you can call in at 646-378-0378, or you can continue to ask them in the chat room. And I'm going to give it back to you, Dr. Andrea Lee, okay?
Okay, thank you. Well, and another thing that I wanted to bring up, too, there are a couple of other extreme situations that we want to talk about, and some of it's cultural. One would be if, let's say, you're Caucasian and your partner is not Caucasian, okay? So if you have a mixed, you know, interracial relationship, we see, especially in relationship coaching, we see a lot of issues with parents and outside influences such as friends that try to break up the situation. And, you know, I would like to say that that is because, you know, it's, you know, we have a lot of racism. We have a lot of preconceived notions about those types of relationships. And, you know, I would love to say, hey, listen, it's because, you know, they don't want that relationship to go as they don't want that relationship to be any harder than it really needs to be. But in reality, it is. It's that preconceived notion. It is those, you know, those prejudgments, and that would be an extreme situation. Another one would be a same-sex couple. Now, in my practice, I accept all couples. I do not discriminate, but that would be something that a family may not support. So there are a lot of extreme situations where it's not just necessarily from what has happened in childhood, but a decision, or I wouldn't even say a preference, because that's how God had made them, but that just who they are that makes that difference. And, you know, we all have to look at this situation and be more supportive of people instead of having those preconceived notions. And in my practice, I actually work with couples that are interracial or that maybe even they're Caucasian and they adopt a biracial baby or a mixed race baby that the family may not approve of. There are a lot of different circumstances, but the point is you still have to put your foot down and you still have to accept that you are in this relationship and you have to accept that you need to put boundaries. Boundaries are not a bad thing if they are respected and observed. Boundaries, however, if they are not respected, boundaries can actually hurt the situation. But at least they know exactly where they stand. So, Courtney, do we have any more last questions before we go?
No, you actually answered everything that came through. You know, there are some people in the chat room who are kind of talking about the same sex and the interracial couples, you know, but the comments are more or less coming through about, you know, how they know people who have those prejudices, you know, who can't deal with that or don't want to deal with that. And, you know, it's still very concrete in our culture, which, you know, is not a good thing. So they were commenting on some of the things that you were saying.
Well, hopefully it was good. Yeah, but, I mean, and again, the thing is it's, you know, we all have our own path in life. And we know, we learn by the decisions and by the choices that we make. And we know that we're one choice away from the rest of our lives. So, Courtney, when we look at this situation, we have to realize, who are we really putting as a priority? Are we putting our partner as a priority? Are we putting our family and friends as a priority? If we're putting our family and friends as a priority over our partner, why did we get married in the first place? Mm-hmm. That's a good question to ask your partner. If your partner is unwilling to budge, why did we get married in the first place if you were not going to put me up above your family?
It is a really good question to ask, and I can tell you from personal experience, I've been asked that question, you know, to the point where I've actually had to take a really large step back from my own, you know, family in a way to make sure that my marriage evolves and works and is very concrete. Now, I can tell you my family doesn't agree with that. They don't, but I had to do that in order to fulfill my marriage and to make sure that my marriage, and it does still work. So I can completely understand that, and it really is a good question to ask not only your partner but yourself, because sometimes you forget that you might be just as guilty as your partner.
Well, yeah, and you know, whenever you have a situation of conflict, both people, both sides contribute to the situation, and some of my clients don't like me saying that, but no, both sides have contributed to the situation. Both sides have reacted. Both sides, or one side may have triggered another, and it just keeps going. And at this point, being able to establish a healthy relationship by creating those boundaries and by really understanding who you are and who you're prioritizing first, above all else, that's really the key. And again, the cardinal rule, you know, thou shalt always take the side of your partner. And I know that sounds silly and it sounds like it should be a no-brainer, but we don't always do that. We don't always do that. Do you always do that? I don't. I mean, it's a work in progress.
I think it's so much easier for us to play the blame game. You know, it's my partner's fault. They did it. Blame them. I think a lot of times it's an easier mindset for us to blame the other person or to blame an outside source and so forth. And I think sometimes we forget to take credit within our own relationship that, you know, we are the one in it, you know, not the outside source, you know, not just the partner. And I think that that's one of the reasons why there are so many failed relationships. I don't know if you would agree, but I'm sure you've at least seen some of that with your business and your coaching, correct?
I do. And, you know, something else, Courtney, that I just really want to also take into consideration. Okay, let's say if your husband's, just to give an example, let's say if your husband's parents are not treating you well, okay? Your first thought is that, okay, now I'm going to go to the mat. I'm going to go and I'm going to, you know, speak my mind. But then you're in that situation of not wanting to disrespect your husband, but then sticking up for yourself. And the one thing that as a wife you have to think about is, even though you may not agree with the behavior that your husband's parents, your in-laws, are showing towards you, they still contributed to have a son that you absolutely love and adore. So there, even though you may not like them, you may not love them, you may not agree with them, you still have to respect them at some level. That doesn't mean that you're bound to them to be in their lives, you know, for eternity, but you still have to have some level of respect, because had that not happened, your partner would not be in your life. And it's easy to say, well, they said this to me, they said that to me, and then reacting in a situation that kind of escalates the situation or the issue to the point where it's very difficult for your partner to be on your behalf, to go on your behalf, because you've escalated the situation to the point where it's way out of hand.
Well, and that's a really good point that you bring up, and it's a really good point that you make, because I think sometimes that we forget fighting fire with fire doesn't always work, you know, and taking a positive approach to a negative situation, at the end of the day, at least we're rewarded with, you know, positivity rather than the negativity. You know, we don't have to accept that negativity. Excuse me, we can, you know, we can still stay positive. So I think that that is a really good example that you brought up, and a really good thing that you brought up, because I think most people forget that. And, you know, especially when it comes to parental figures, you know, it's very easy to place the blame there as well, or kind of put that out there as, well, they don't respect me, I'm not going to respect them.
Yes. Absolutely. And another thing to think about, too, is, okay, let's say you come from a family where the parents have divorced. So you've come from a family where your parents have had a dysfunctional relationship. And now either the father or the mother is actually going in to your relationship and giving advice. Do you see how that could be a huge problem?
Yes. Yes. You know, and I think it's really common for most, I don't know if men do this as well, but it's common for women to seek outside advice for relationships. I mean, I know a lot of women who seek outside of advice. You know, they'll listen to their friends, they'll listen to their family, they'll listen to anybody else, but then the partner, you know, but, you know, rather than actually having a conversation with their partner and making a decision.
Well, and again, you can't fake listening. You really have to listen to your partner, because most of the time, if both sides are willing to have, you know, an honest and open and respectful communication, conversation with each other, chances are you're going to be able to work some things out. It may not be that everything's going to be worked out at the same time, but you're at least going to be on the journey to promote healing. Now, when you take into a situation where someone is just bip, 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 bip to friends and family who, let's say, may not already like you, it's going to be a lot harder now when you get back together with your partner, because you've given them ammunition now to not like your partner even further.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that that kind of goes along the lines of, you can't have a relationship, you know, or with everyone, or you can't have everyone within your relationship. You know, it's so funny, because I know so many people who have done that, excuse me, where they've brought, you know, friends and family into their relationship dynamic, and then something happens and they break up and they get back together, and that family is trying to sabotage that relationship, or those friends keep telling them, like, you know, you complained about this, this, and this before, you said this, this, and this, why are you with them, why are you giving them a chance? So you bring up something that's so common.
It's so common, but it's also so damaging to our relationship, and we don't even know it if we're not consciously aware. We have to be self-aware through the discovery process to say, hey, listen, okay, let's think further than just what we're currently feeling in our hearts right now. I'm mad at my husband. I'm mad at my wife. I'm upset that this person's not listening to me. You know, or, hey, listen, this person is wrong. I'm right. I want a validation that I'm right. So then that person goes and talks to family or friends, and then they get back together, and then now that family and friend, the friend situation, it backfires. And you created it. You have created that problem. And it's harder. So instead of trying to put out the fire, don't do it in the first place. There are other avenues. Now, there are some friends that I'm sure, you know, if you have an awesome relationship with a parent or something of that nature, I mean, I'm sure there are exceptions. But in general, and I'm going to say this as a blanket statement, in general, more so than not, you're doing more harm than good. Because let's think about it. Okay, I have 6 children. If I have a child that's coming to me and says someone's hurting his or her feelings, I'm going to be upset because I love my child and I don't want my child to be hurt. Now, that child makes up with a partner, and it's going to be difficult because I'm still going to be thinking, oh, well, you still hurt my daughter or you still hurt my son. I'm not going to forget easily. And that is a situation, and it's human nature. We are perfectly imperfect. It is truly human nature. So unless you know for sure that you have that type of a relationship with either a family or a friend, it's best not to even seek out support from that specific influence. It's better to go to either go to your partner, go to a therapist, go to a coach, go to someone that can mediate, such as your religious institution. There are a lot of other programs that are available. Go to workshops, go to boot camps. There are a lot of different things that can help you where you won't create that negative backlash or undercurrent when things come back to normal and you have that healthy relationship. And that's so important to understand.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank you for answering all the listeners' questions today and, you know, definitely sharing them out. You know, I know that they're really excited to be able to interact with you. So I'm going to give the show back over to you. And on behalf of them, I know that they thank you.
Oh, and it was absolutely my pleasure. And just a couple of things I just wanted to offer that Fairy Tale Interrupted Relationship Coaching does offer free 20-minute relationship explosion sessions. So if you're in a situation where, let's say maybe you're having issues with outside influence and it's very specific to a situation and you don't know what to do, and maybe you and your partner would benefit from an outside person that would be able to kind of guide you both into creating an action plan that will work for you and be able to manage where you currently are in your relationship and where you want to be. We do offer those free sessions for new clients. You can reach us at 248-880-8336, or you can go to AndreaRelationshipCoach.com. In addition, we just had our Forgiveness Divine, the Letting Go Boot Camp, which was a huge success last month. We will actually be having it again in November in Novi, date to be determined, and then we will also be having some sort of a money mastery class in Novi as well. For the price of both of those programs, each will be $45. We have decided, because it's close to the holiday season, that we will be keeping the price low so you can afford the holiday gifts. And beginning of next year, the price will go up to $75 for both boot camps. So please feel free to reach out if you want more additional information. And it's been a pleasure today to have this time to speak about outside influences.